Thankful for a time in which we can gather and just glean truths from your word. And I know, Lord, each and every person that's here tonight has made an extra effort to make it out here tonight, Lord. And I pray that this message would be exactly what they would have need of. Lord, that you would use me and speak through me, Lord, and give this congregation exactly what we have need of. We love you and we thank you for all these things. In your name I pray. Amen. And you can be seated. I remember as a, I guess about a fourth grader, for the first time being able to go to junior camp. And I was very excited about that opportunity. And I remember my mom got me one of those disposable cameras. And we don't really use those anymore. Most people use digital cameras. But those were the kind of cameras, remember, you had to wait to get your film back. You know, you had to take it to the grocery store, the drugstore, and wait a couple days to see the images. Probably most of the kids in here don't have any recollection of what those things are. But I remember taking that with me, and I was very excited about being able to have my very own camera and take my very own pictures. And I remember probably in the first 2 days using just about every one of those pictures, just taking, well, pictures of what fourth grade boys would take pictures of. Probably bugs and probably one of my friends goofing off and probably the lake and all that kind of stuff. And I remember being excited about getting those pictures back and being able to look at those pictures and just look at the great memories. And I remember when we did get those pictures back, I began to open up the little envelope that they came in and began to look through them. And to my amazement, half those pictures had my finger in front of the lens. A lot of those pictures were blurry. You couldn't tell who was in the picture. And one of the things that I didn't stop to do is I didn't stop to, you know, just take some time and take the picture. Let the camera get focused on one thing. I was just in a hurry snapping the picture as I'm running around, and how disappointed I was as a child. Now, I'm not much of a photographer, but I do understand that even with cameras that we use today, they have to be focused. If there are several objects in the foreground of that camera doesn't know what to focus on. And so even a lot of the smartphones nowadays, they're on the screen. You're able to turn on the camera app and you'll be able to point it at something. And then you're able to touch somewhere on that screen and it immediately focuses on that image. And you're able to take a picture and have a crystal clear, a very sharp image of that because the camera knows what to focus on. Now, I know I don't want you to be disappointed. This message is not about photography tonight. I'm just using that to help us get into here. But you know, I found one thing as we live this Christian life. For you, those of us, and listen, on a Wednesday crowd like this, most of us, if not all of us, would know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. We would be in the act of living the Christian life. And what I've found is that as we live our lives, we often live them out of focus on Jesus Christ. Or if we do have focus on Jesus Christ, we also have focus on several other things. And oftentimes as we look at our life, we're trying to focus on the Lord, but we're also trying to focus on this or that. And listen, if we're not focused on Him, often we look through the lens to a very blurry picture. Look at our lives and there's some confusion there because we're trying to focus on God, but we're trying to focus on other things. As I look in this passage, I began to ask the Lord to present to me what I should present to you tonight. And one of the thoughts that kept sticking out of the page here in this passage was this truth. Listen, as a Christian, I ought to live every moment focused on God. I want you to think about that statement tonight, because as a Christian, how true that is. Every moment of every day of our life ought to be centered and focused on God. Every decision that we make, every choice that we make needs to be filtered through God and how God would react to that and what God would have to say about that. However, I find that when I've lost my focus on God, now I'm viewing what God commands me to do, but I'm also viewing about what I want to do in that decision, and I'm conflicted between what God would have me to do and what my own flesh would have me to do, and there's like a war going on in me because I'm not focused on God, not living this life focused on God. And listen, the result of that is blurred vision, a blurry picture. What am I supposed to do? Maybe you've seen someone like this, or maybe you've even experienced this in your own life. Listen, you know what you should do. As a Christian, you know the decision that you should make, but you just have a hard time accomplishing that. Have you ever been there? I think all of us probably could relate to that a little bit. Listen, as a Christian, I know I should do this, but the flesh just keeps me from doing it. Listen, I know I need to get up and read the Bible and spend time with God in the morning, but the flesh says, no, I just stay in bed. You don't need to get up yet. And as a Christian, I'm constantly battling that. As a Christian, I know I ought to witness to other people, but the flesh says, they're not going to listen to me. They're not going to listen to you. You don't need to do that. As a Christian, I know I'm supposed to be faithfully giving to the Lord through my tithes and offerings, bringing those things to God. And yet the flesh is saying, you need that money. You can't afford to do that. And listen, the list can go on and on, can't it, tonight? We know as a Christian we're supposed to be doing one thing, but in the flesh, many times it's a much different story. It's much harder to carry that out. It just seems like sometimes I can't do it. You know, the truth is, because of our lack of focus on God, sometimes we make the Christian life so hard. We know what we should be doing, but we just don't do it. Listen, as a parent, let me help you kind of illustrate this truth for those of you who have raised children or are in the process of raising children, or one of these days, many of you have that hope that the Lord will allow your family to raise some children. In the process of raising children, the parent knows what's best for that child. I believe that the Lord has helped Sheree and I as we are raising the four children that God has given to us, that God helps us to know what's best for those children. And so oftentimes, as we know what's best for that child, things like eating the right type of food, eating those foods that are full of the nutrients and the vitamins that they need to be able to grow strong and healthy bodies, things like a proper bedtime, being able to get enough rest and being able to take naps if their body needs that. As a parent, many times we're looking to those children and we're saying, you need this. You need your rest. You need to go to bed. You need a proper bedtime. Things like going to school. These kids need an education. They need to be able to grow up learning some things. And so as moms and dads, we look at our children and we say, listen, I know it's best for you to enter into education and learn some of these things. There's a lot of these things that as parents, as we're bringing those children or raising those children, or those that, of you that have raised children, you realize, listen, as mom and dad, we know what's best, but here's what I've found out. What's best for their growth as a child often doesn't appeal to their flesh. The idea of eating the proper nutrients, the vegetables, they'd rather eat the junk food. The idea of going to school, they'd rather stay home and play all day and watch cartoons and not have to go and learn. No kid likes to go to bed at night. No kid likes to take naps. And now as adults, we're looking back and we're saying, if I could just have some of those naps back that I gave up when I was growing up, man, how good that would feel. Just have a few extra hours of sleep. But as children, what's best for their growth as a child often doesn't appeal to their flesh, and so they're left with a choice. Here's their choice. I'm either going to obey my mom and dad who know what's best for me, or I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to obey my flesh, do what I want to do, and make my own decisions. And, you know, once that child has made the choice to disobey, as parents, it's our responsibility to sit them down and to discipline them. And I've often had this conversation with my kids after they've made a decision to disobey me, and after disobeying me and after administering their punishment to them, now they're thinking clearly. They're no longer thinking what the flesh wants to do. Now they're thinking in terms of what mom and dad want me to do. And you know, all the time they look at me and they say, yeah, I realize that was not the right thing. I should have obeyed you. I should have listened to you. And the truth is, not in just that moment, but in the moment in which they were committing that act of disobedience against mom and dad, they knew exactly the choice that they were making was the wrong choice. But I wonder if that child, in the midst of the opportunity of whether to obey mom and dad or to disobey mom and dad, or whether to make the right decision or the wrong decision, I wonder if that child, if they had a focus on what mom and dad knew was best for them. And I wonder if they were focused on the possible discipline that would come as a result of that wrong decision. And I wonder if they thought about the fact, listen, if I make this decision and I'm focusing on what mom and dad want for me, if I make this decision, it's going to displease mom and dad. I wonder if they were focused on those things how easy it would be to make the right decision. But in the midst of that decision and doing wrong, all they're focused on is the flesh, doing what they want to do, not focusing on God. And I find the same thing is true for you and I as Christians as we live this life. Listen, we're faced with the same choices. We're faced with whether we're going to follow after what God wants for us in our lives, whether we're going to do what God wants us to do, or as Christians, whether we're going to follow after our flesh and do what our flesh wants us to do. Listen, the truth is, as a Christian, what's best for our Christian growth will never be pleasing to the flesh. It'll never be pleasing to the flesh. I want you to turn over to Galatians chapter 5 this evening. Galatians chapter 5, and I trust that you'll stay with me as we're going through the introductory statements tonight before we get into this passage. Galatians chapter 5, you see, as a Christian, I'm constantly battling between what God would have me to do and what my flesh would have me to do. Those things are constantly in opposition to one another, and they always will be. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Verse 17, he says, "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would." Understand this, Christian, tonight. What your flesh wants you to do and what God wants you to do will always be in opposition to one another. Two things are contrary, and so we're constantly waging a war in our own minds and in our own lives, and the only way for us to win that victory is to be focused on God every moment of every day. When the decisions come along in our lives and I must choose between what my flesh wants me to do and what God wants me to do, if I'm focused on God, it'll be a whole lot easier to make that right decision, to make that right choice. And oftentimes, listen, we will make the decision to please the flesh, do what we want to do, or we'll choose to do what God wants us to do. And for the Christian, it ought to be an easy choice. I want you to think about that. God gives us, first of all, He gives us the manual that He would have for us to live our lives. Everything is outlined here in the Scriptures. And God has given us examples to follow. God's given us proof that it works. You look at the Old Testament and the New Testament characters, those that lived their life with focus on God, how God blessed them and brought them through. Listen, each and every one of us have our own personal experiences, and we can look back in our life in times in which when we were focused on God, doing what He would have us to do, God was blessing us and leading us along. And then He gives us the example of the Savior Jesus Christ. And for us to live the Christian life, it ought to be an easy thing. But so often we make it very difficult on ourselves. And listen, it would be easy if we lived every moment focused on God. But we so often live this life out of focus. Either that or we try to focus on God, but we try to focus on the flesh as well. Try to focus on what pleases God and what pleases me. And listen, the Bible says that is impossible. You cannot live life that way. You'll frustrate yourself. You'll make yourself upset. You'll just have a rough time living life that way. I want you to see three things here from this passage back in Matthew chapter 6 this evening. Three quick things that I want to point out to you that speak to this thought. First of all, we find in Matthew chapter 6 that the first thing I want you to see here tonight, as Christians, we all enter the Christian life with the same opportunity. Understand this, on the day that you asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior, you began down the road of the same opportunity, and that opportunity is to know God. To know God. Every Christian that lives this life, they have that opportunity to know God. Look at verse 22 here in Matthew chapter 6. The Bible says there, "The light of the body is the eye." The light of the body is the eye. Many people have said this, that the eye is the window to the soul. In other words, what the eye is allowed to see will affect the rest of the body. What the eye is able to see, in very much so in this passage, the Bible is referring to the very fact that the eye is like a lamp, illuminating to the rest of the body what the eye sees, and being able to capture those things and share those things with the rest of the body. In a physical sense, here's the idea. Many of us, when you first saw your spouse, your eye is what told your brain, well, she's very pretty. Or he's handsome, and I want to get to know them a little bit better. And so in a physical sense, before the rest of your body responded, your eyes saw that person first. When we sit down to eat a meal, many times we'll sit down and we'll look at the plate set in front of us, whether we're at a restaurant or something else like that, and with our eyes we'll look at that meal, and our eyes will tell our body, this looks great, or I'm not sure I want to try this. You see, the eye is the window to the soul, and the eye is the window to the body, illuminating to the rest of the body in the physical sense, but I don't believe this scripture is speaking of a physical sense here. I believe it's speaking of a spiritual sense. And here's the idea. Listen, in a spiritual sense, at salvation, we see God clearly for the first time. I want you to think about the day that you got saved and the scales were taken off your eyes and you began to look to God as your Savior and you saw God as the Savior of your life for the very first time. Your eyes were open to that. And you began to have the very same opportunity that every other person that's ever been saved has, and that is the opportunity to know God. To be able to look in the Scriptures, you see, those things were taken away from your eyes and you were able to see clearly, so much so that it's like a lamp into the rest of your body and the rest of your soul. And that opportunity to get to know God and to draw closer to Him. Listen, I understand that as Christians, we all have the same opportunity, and that is to know God. Now understand this, that every Christian is saved under different circumstances. The circumstances in which we are saved possibly will be different, but there is one thing that remains the same. We all have the opportunity to know God and to gain an understanding of Him and develop a relationship with Him. I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 this evening. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. This has been called the Hall of Faith, this chapter and this verse, and this chapter speaks to the faith that we have to have in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Bible says in verse 6 of Hebrews chapter 11, it says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him." We understand that before we can ever do anything for God, we have to have a faith in God and believe in who He is. He says, "Without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe, first of all, that He is." Listen, when we come to God, before we can ever accomplish anything for Him, we have to believe that He is God. That He can accomplish in our lives what He set out to accomplish. That He can save us, and that He can take us to heaven. And then when we've done that, when we've believed and placed our faith and trust in God, look what He says at the end of verse 6. I love this thought. "For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Amen. Understand this as Christians tonight. Listen, as you're living this Christian life, if you've come to God in faith, God says, first of all, you have to believe in who I am. And once you believe in who I am, listen, if you'll just seek after me, I'll reward you with the knowledge of who I am. And a relationship with me, and you can get to know me. And I'm here to say tonight that every Christian has the same opportunity. Listen, before we can live our lives with our focus on God, we must first come to know God for who He is and know the plans that He has for our lives. Listen, for the Christian, we must understand first and foremost, I have no excuses for not knowing God. I have no excuses. Listen, I cannot stand in front of God and say, "I'm sorry, God, I didn't learn what You wanted for my life." No, He gives it to us in the Scriptures. He says, "Learn of Me and find out of Me." And listen, I am a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. We must understand that we have no excuses for not knowing God, and we certainly have no excuses for not knowing how we should live our lives. And so we see here the light of the body is the eye. And at salvation, spiritually, my eyes are opened. I'm able to see God for who He is. Listen, all Christians have that same opportunity, but sadly enough, not all Christians take advantage of the opportunity to get to know God. They don't take the opportunity to get into the Scriptures and begin to study and see what thus saith the Lord. They don't take that opportunity to get to know Him. Listen, if we'll ever live our lives on every moment with a focus on God, we first must know God. And every Christian has that opportunity. I love the words that Paul says in the book of Philippians in chapter 3 and verse 10, and he says that I may know Him. Paul made it his life's pursuit to know who God was and to be able to develop a relationship with God and know everything about Him. And at the end of that passage, he says, being made conformable unto His death. He says, listen, when you know God in such a way, you can be made conformable unto his death. The idea of being crucified with Christ. In other words, if I know God so much, it's no longer about me pleasing the flesh. It's about me living the life that God wants me to live and pleasing him all the time. And I believe that was Paul's purpose, and I believe Paul lived his life as a wonderful example of that. Listen, and can I say this evening, if we're going to have a focus on God, you and I have that same opportunity. We can know God like that, like Paul knew God. We can crucify the flesh the greater that we get to know God. And it's just like we're crucified with him because we're choosing his will over our will. You see, as Christians, first of all, we all enter the Christian life with the same opportunity to know God. Secondly, I want you to see tonight, as Christians, not only do we have the same opportunity to know God, but we have the same choice. And that choice is a choice between a single focus on God or a blurred vision. Look in chapter, or back in Matthew chapter 6, if you would, and verse 22. The Bible says there, the light of the body is the eye. He says then, if therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. If thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. I want you to understand tonight, Christian, if there is a singular focus on Christ, the whole body will respond to that. The whole body will be full of that light. And what a wonderful thing. Listen, while I'm following after God, think about this as Christians. While we're following after God, and while we have a single focus on God, and we are laser focused on his plans for our lives, and we're walking in fellowship with him, when we're in that way, we experience the peace and the joy and the love of God that no one else can experience. Because we're in that single focus, just focusing on what he would have for our lives, making the decisions that he would have us to make for our lives. Listen, in that time, I'm realizing there is satisfaction here in the singular focus on God. It's not like I'm looking back at the world and I'm saying, man, I can't believe I'm missing out on this over here. No, Jesus Christ is meeting all my needs. He's giving me the joy, the peace, the contentment, the satisfaction in that singular focus on him. But I want you to see in verse 23, because we can either choose to have that single focus on him, or we can choose to focus on something different. Look what he says in verse 23. He says, but if thine eye be evil, the whole body shall be full of darkness. I want to remind you tonight, this passage is not written and not speaking of sinners here or those that are not saved. This passage is speaking of those whom Jesus Christ has already washed away their sins, or Christians. This is not speaking of an unsaved man here. He says in verse 23, if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. What does he mean when he says, if thine eye be evil, here in the scriptures? I began to study that out. The idea here is a bad eye, or eyes that don't work together. Eyes that don't focus on one thing. In other words, one eye is looking one way, the other eye is looking the other way, and it gives a very blurred image to the person living that life. The idea there is no focus. The whole body is full of darkness. Now that's a physical sense, but in the spiritual sense here, listen to this. As a Christian, if I'm not focused on God, I begin to live a life and I'm trying to live this Christian life focused on myself and on the needs of my own flesh. And as I'm doing that, listen, I'm confused. That leads to a frustration. The idea there of trying to live the Christian life, just doing it in my own power, in my own strength. Listen, by the way, that is impossible. We cannot live the life that Christ would have us to live without his power and his strength and his help. But listen, as we go through this life and we're not focused on him, but we're focused on ourselves and we're focused on what the flesh wants. Listen, we're trying to live the Christian life and it leads to frustration. It leads to a blurred vision because I'm trying to focus on him some of the time and I'm trying to focus on the flesh some of the time and it just doesn't work. This is an easy thing for us to illustrate in a physical sense. Most of us have a Bible in front of us tonight, and in that Bible there's a left side of the page and a right side of the page. When your eyes are working together, they'll look down at that page and your eyes will pick one part of that page and begin to focus on the words of that page. And when the eyes are working together, focusing on that one thing, guess what? There's clarity. You can read those words. You can focus on them. You can comprehend what's being said there because your eyes are working together, focusing on one thing. And you can do that on the left side of the page or on the right side of the page. Now, here's when you run into a problem. As you look at down at your Bible or you look at another paper and you try to tell one eye to focus on the left side of the page and one eye to focus on the right side of the page, all of a sudden you can no longer make out what the page is trying to say there. All it is a blurry picture as you're looking down at your Bible and you're trying to read. Listen, could you imagine reading a book like that? Trying to read a book, trying to, this eye goes to the left, this eye goes to the right, and we'll try to speed read through this book. You would drive yourself nuts trying to do something like that. And yet I find that we try to live the Christian life. And we try to live the Christian life with one eye focused on God and saying, God, you can have this part of my life, and God, I'll follow you in this area, but God, this area over here, this is for me. We begin to compartmentalize our lives and we say, God, you can have my Sundays and my Sundays will be set apart to serve you, but Mondays, those are mine. And God, this area of my life, I understand what the Bible says in this area and I'm willing to follow you in this area. But this other area, and it's just a small area, God, this area I'm going to keep to myself. And you know what we're trying to do? We're trying to please God and trying to please the flesh at the same time. And the Bible says that'll never work. All you'll do is frustrate yourself as a Christian because you've lost your focus on God. But I'm here to tell you tonight, listen, as Christians, we make that choice. We'll either choose to be focused on God or we'll choose to focus a little bit on God and a little bit on flesh. We'll either choose to have a singular focus, a clear vision, a clarity as we walk through the life that God has chosen for us to live. Or we'll have a blurred vision. We'll have an evil eye or a bad eye that doesn't give to the body a clear picture. Doesn't give to the soul what it's supposed to give. But we make that choice. Listen, I'm here to tell you tonight that as Christians, first of all, we all have the same opportunity to know God. We all have the same choice to choose whether to have a singular focus on God or to possibly focus on something else or try to focus on Him or something else. And finally tonight, I want you to see, as Christians, we all have the same promise. Look in verse 24. Here's the promise. No man can serve two masters. No man can serve two masters. I want you to go back to look in verse 23, the end of that. The Bible says in the end of verse 23, if therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Listen, understand, this is not a question. This is a statement that Jesus is making. And again, he's speaking of Christians here. And he's saying, listen, if that light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Listen, I want you to understand, if the eye has experienced sight, if the body has experienced the ability to be able to see and go around and be able to see how beautiful the world is that God has given us to live in. And the eye has had the opportunity to take part and just look and be focused and have the crystal clear picture that the eye gives to the rest of the body. And then that vision is taken away. Because they had the opportunity to have that vision before, it's a greater loss. It's a greater darkness for them. There's a greater void for them than someone possibly that was born with blindness and never had the opportunity to see. Now understand that both have lost something. Both have lost the opportunity to be able to see. But one loss or one void is greater because they've experienced that. They've experienced what it was like to be able to see. And so in the Christian life, Jesus Christ is telling us, listen, for the Christian that got saved, listen, the reason you got saved is because you had a singular focus on God. And on the day of your salvation, when you looked to God, God gave you that peace and that joy and contentment. And I remind you all to think about that day when you knelt at an altar or you got down on your knees or someone led you to the Christ or led you to the Lord at your doorstep or wherever it was. And remember the peace and the joy and the contentment, those things that you felt on that day, as you knew that God had lifted the burden of sin from off your shoulders. And as you lived that life and as you understood how good God was, listen, if you're not experiencing that same peace and joy and contentment today? Because there's been a lack of focus, a lack of looking to Him, a lack of singular focus. Listen, your loss is greater. There's a greater void because at one point you did experience that. There's a greater loss because you can look back now and you can see there was a time when there was peace and joy and contentment. There was satisfaction in the things of God. He says, if thine eye be evil, or if the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? And listen, that's sometimes how people feel. And they say, I feel like I've lost my salvation. And the truth is, if they're truly saved, they never lost their salvation. But they did lose a lack of focus on God. They did lose their focus in looking to Him. Listen, this last loss of focus leads to a frustration. And it's a promise of Scripture that you cannot serve two masters. Listen, understand this, Christian, tonight, we cannot serve God and serve ourselves at the same time. It's not like we can have one eye on God and say, God, you can have this part of my life, but this other part of my life I'm going to keep to myself. The Bible says you can't do that. I remind you of what James said in James chapter 1 and verse 8. He says this, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And oftentimes we look at the decisions that we're making and we're saying, this just affects me a little bit. No, I want you to understand, if there's not a singular focus on God, if you're trying to please God but you're trying to please flesh at the same time, the Bible says that's going to affect every part of your life. Double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. I remind you of Jesus speaking of those that wanted to follow Him but wanted to do it marginally. Back in the book of Luke in chapter 9 and verse 62, Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. And listen, I remind you tonight that this scripture, this Sermon on the Mount, is not just for the first century Christians and not just for the disciples that heard it. No, that scripture is for us tonight. In the year 2014, may we have a singular focus. May we be solely focused on what God would have for us to do in our lives. Always keeping our eyes on Him. Listen, if you had two jobs tonight, and both employers expected the same amount of commitment out of you, and both employers expected you to be at work at the same time, both employers expected the same resources, eventually you're going to have to make a choice in which employer to work for, because they both expect the same thing. And I'm here to tell you tonight, God is looking at us as Christians tonight, and He's saying, listen, Christian, I need your entire focus. This half and half stuff won't work. This, you holding this part of your life to yourself and giving me everything else, that's not going to work for me. I need every part of your life. I need your entire focus. I need you entirely looking to me. And guess what? Far too often, as Christians, we're content with choosing both God and the flesh and saying, God, you can have this part of my life, but you can't have it all. And as Christians, while we think we're choosing both, we're really choosing the flesh. What I want to do versus choosing God and what God wants me to do. Here in conclusion tonight, I want you to turn over to a passage of Scripture. Here in conclusion, I want you to look over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31. This is a verse that all of us have learned probably as a child as we were growing up in church. As we look at this passage of Scripture found in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31, the Bible says there, for the Christian, whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Can I say tonight, this Scripture is more than just a cute phrase, more than just a little thing to memorize and to repeat. No, the Scripture is a way of life. Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. I want to ask you tonight, Christian, in conclusion, as we think about our life and the decisions that we make and the choices that we make and even the things that we do, is every one of those decisions, is every one of those choices filtered through God? As we look at even the job that God has called us to do, the employer, the employment that God has given to us? Do we go about our work with the thought, I want to do this for the glory of God? I want other people to look at my life and realize it's God who gets the glory. When we stand up in a Sunday school class or a junior church class, or we stand up to sing a special, is our focus on God? God, I want you to get the glory in the midst of this. I want to have a single focus on you as I live this life. Or as we live this life, is it more about pleasing the flesh? Or trying maybe to please God and please the flesh at the same time? Remind you what the scriptures say. No man can serve two masters. Listen, as Christians, we all have the same opportunity to know God. We all have the same opportunity to get to know Him, to have a focus on Him. And we'll all have the same choice, whether to choose a single focus on Him or to choose a blurry vision, trying to focus on Him and the flesh at the same time, trying to please Him and the flesh at the same time. But I can assure you, if you're doing that, it's going to lead to a life of frustration, lead to a life of sadness, of discontent, because that's not what God would have for us. God would have for us to look completely and entirely to Him, keep our focus on Him. Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed tonight. Thank you so much for the way that you've listened. Trust this is the message that God would have for us tonight. On a Wednesday night, we don't ever or often have a musical invitation, but the altar is open tonight. And perhaps the Lord has used this message, or maybe the Lord has spoken to our heart. I want to give us just the opportunity to come forward. Are you focused on God in your life tonight? Or is there a lack of focus? You're trying to please God in most areas, but in one area trying to please the flesh. I don't know how God may have used this message, but I trust that as the altars are open tonight, that if God has used it, that you'll do business with God. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we're so thankful for your goodness and your blessings to us, Lord. I pray that you'd help us tonight, Lord, to have a single focus on you. Lord, that we would realize what the scriptures say as we look at this. Lord, we all have the opportunity to focus on you. We all have the opportunity to choose, Lord, whether we will do that or whether we won't. I pray that you'd help to drive this message deep within our hearts tonight, Lord. Help us to change us. We love you and we thank you for all these things. In your name I pray. Amen.